We are starting chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, called The Unknowable Room. Harry racked his brains over the next week as to how to persuade Slughorn to hand over the true memory, but nothing in the nature of the brainwave occurred, and he was reduced to doing what he did increasingly these days when at a loss, poring over his potions book, hoping that the prince would have scribbled something useful in a margin, as he had done so many times. "You won't find anything in there," said Hermione firmly, late on Sunday evening. "Don't start, Hermione," said Harry. "If it hadn't been for the prince, Ron wouldn't be sitting here now." "He would if you'd just listened to Snape in our first year," said Hermione dismissively. Harry ignored her. He had just found an incantation, Sectum Sempra, scrawled in a margin above the intriguing words "for enemies," and was itching to try it out, but he thought it best not to in front of Hermione. Instead, he surreptitiously folded down the corner of the page. They were sitting beside the fire in the common room. The only other people awake were fellow sixth years. There had been a certain amount of excitement earlier when they had come back from dinner to find a new sign on the notice board that announced the date for their apparition test. Those who would be 17 on or before the first test date, the 21st of April, had the option of signing up for additional practice sessions, which would take place, heavily supervised, in Hogsmeade. Ron had panicked upon reading this notice. He had still not managed to apparate and feared he would not be ready for the test. Hermione, who had now achieved apparition twice, was a little more confident, but Harry, who would not be 17 for another 4 months, could not take the test whether ready or not. "At least you can apparate, though," said Ron tensely. "You'll have no trouble come July." "I've only done it once," Harry reminded him. He had finally managed to disappear and rematerialize inside his hoop during their previous lessons. Having wasted a lot of time worrying about apparition, Ron was now struggling to finish a viciously difficult essay for Snape that Harry and Hermione had already completed. Harry fully expected to receive low marks on his because he had disagreed with Snape on the best way to tackle Dementors, but he did not care. Slughorn's memory was now the most important thing to him. "I'm telling you, the stupid prince isn't going to help you out with this one, Harry," said Hermione more loudly. "There's only one way to force someone to do what you want, and that's the Imperius Curse, which is illegal." "Yeah, I know that, thanks," said Harry, not looking up from the book. "That's why I'm looking for something different. Dumbledore said Veritaserum won't do it, but there might be something else. A potion or a spell." "You're going about it the wrong way," said Hermione. "Only you can get the memory, Dumbledore says. That means you can persuade Slughorn where other people can't. It's not a question of slipping him a potion. Anyone could do that." "How do you spell belligerent?" said Ron, shaking his quill very hard while staring at his parchment. "It can't be B-U-M. No, it isn't," said Hermione, pulling Ron's essay toward him. "And augury doesn't begin with O-R-G either. What kind of quill are you using?" "It's one of Fred and George's spell check ones. I think the charm must be wearing off." "Yes, it must," said Hermione, pointing at the title of his essay, "because we were asked how we'd deal with Dementors, not Doug Boggs, and I don't remember you changing your name to Runald Waslib either." "Ah, no," said Ron, staring horror-struck at the parchment. "Don't say I'll have to write the whole thing out again." "It's okay, we can fix it," said Hermione, pulling the essay toward her and taking out her wand. "I love you, Hermione," said Ron, sinking back into his chair, rubbing his eyes wearily. Hermione turned faintly pink, but merely said, "Don't let Lavender hear you say that." "I won't," said Ron into his hands. "Or maybe I will, then she'll ditch me." "Why don't you ditch her if you want to finish it?" asked Harry. "You haven't ever chucked anyone, have you?" said Ron. "You and Cho just sort of fell apart, yeah," said Harry. "Wish that would happen with me and Lavender," said Ron gloomily, watching Hermione silently tapping each of his misspelled words with the end of her wand so that they corrected themselves on the page. "But the more I hint I want to finish it, the tighter she holds on. It's like going out with a giant squid." "There," said Hermione some 20 minutes later, handing back Ron's essay. "Thanks a million," said Ron. "Can I borrow your quill for the conclusion?" Harry, who had found nothing useful in the Half-Blood Prince's notes so far, looked around. The three of them were now the only ones left in the common room, Seamus having just gone up to bed, cursing Snape and his essay. The only sounds were the crackling of the fire and Ron scratching out one last paragraph on Dementors using Hermione's quill. Harry had just closed the Half-Blood Prince's book, yawning, when... crack! Hermione let out a little shriek. Ron spilled ink all over his freshly completed essay, and Harry said, "Creature!" The house elf bowed low and addressed him over his gnarled toes. "Master said he wants regular reports on what the Malfoy boy is doing, so Creature has come to give." Crack! Dobby appeared alongside Creature, his tea cozy hat askew. "Dobby has been helping too, Harry Potter," he squeaked, casting Creature a resentful look. "And Creature ought to tell Dobby when he's coming to see Harry Potter so they can make their reports together." "What is this?" asked Hermione, still looking shocked by those sudden appearances. "What's going on, Harry?" Harry hesitated before answering, because he had not told Hermione about setting Creature and Dobby to tattle Malfoy. House elves were always a touchy subject with her. "Well, they've been following Malfoy for me." "Night and day," said Creature. "Dobby has not slept for a week, Harry Potter," said Dobby proudly, standing where he stood. Hermione looked indignant. "You haven't slept, Dobby? But surely, Harry, you didn't tell him not to." "No, of course I didn't," said Harry. "Dobby, you can sleep, all right? But has either of you found out anything?" he hastened to ask before Hermione could intervene again. "Master Malfoy moves with a nobility that befits his pure blood," croaked Creature at once. "His features recall the fine bones of my mistress, and his manners are those..." "Draco Malfoy is a bad boy," squeaked Dobby angrily. "A bad boy who... He shuddered from the tassel of his tea cozy to the toes of his socks, and then ran at the fire, as though about to dive in it. Harry, to whom this was not entirely unexpected, caught him around the middle and held him fast. For a few seconds, Dobby struggled, and then went limp. "Thank you, Harry Potter," he panted. "Dobby still finds it difficult to speak ill of his old masters." Harry released him. Dobby straightened his tea cozy and said defiantly to Creature, "But Creature should know that Draco Malfoy is not a good master to a house elf." "Yeah, we don't need to hear about you being in love with Malfoy," Harry told Creature. "Let's fast forward to where he's actually been going." Creature bowed again, looking furious, and then said, "Master Malfoy eats in the Great Hall. He sleeps in a dormitory in the dungeons. He attends his classes in a variety of..." "Dobby, you tell me," said Harry, cutting across Creature. "Has he been going anywhere he shouldn't have?" "Harry Potter, sir," squeaked Dobby, his great orb-like eyes shining in the firelight. "The Malfoy boy is breaking no rules that Dobby can discover, but he is still keen to avoid detection. He's been making regular visits to the 7th floor with a variety of other students, who keep watch while he enters." "The Room of Requirements," said Harry, smacking himself hard on the forehead, while advanced potions making.
You.
What's that?
Told you.
I know. Hermione and Ron stared at him. "That's where he's been sneaking off to. That's what he's doing, whatever he's doing. And I bet that's why he's disappearing off the map, come to think of it. I've never seen the Room of Requirement on there." "Maybe the Marauders never knew the room was there," said Ron. "I think it'll be part of the magic of the room," said Hermione. "If you need it to be unplottable, it will." "Dobby, have you managed to get in to have a look at what Malfoy's doing?" said Harry eagerly. "No, Harry Potter, that's impossible," said Dobby. "No, it's not," said Harry at once. "Malfoy got into our headquarters there last year, so I'll be able to get in and spy on him, no problem." "But I don't think you will, Harry," said Hermione slowly. "Malfoy already knew exactly how we were using the room, didn't he? Because the stupid Marietta had blabbed. He needed the room to become the headquarters of the DA, so it did. But you don't know what the room becomes when Malfoy goes in there, so you don't know what to ask it to transform into." "There's got to be a way around that," said Harry dismissively. "You've done brilliantly, Dobby." "Creature's done well, too," said Hermione kindly, but far from looking grateful, Creature averted his huge, bloodshot eyes and croaked at the ceiling. "The mudblood is speaking to Creature. Creature will pretend he cannot hear." "Get out of it," Harry snapped at him, and Creature made one last deep bow and disapparated. "You better go and get some sleep, too, Dobby." Thank you, Harry Potter, sir, squeaked Dobby happily, and he too vanished. How good's this? Said Harry enthusiastically, turning to Ron and Hermione the moment the room was elf-free again. Now we know where Malfoy's going. We've got him cornered now. Yeah, it's great, said Ron glumly, who was attempting to mop up the sodden mass of ink that had recently been an almost completed essay. Hermione pulled it toward her and began siphoning off ink with her wand. What's all this about him going up there with a variety of students, said Hermione. How many people are in on it? You wouldn't think he'd trust lots of them to know what he's doing. Yeah, that is weird, said Harry, frowning. I heard him tell Crabbe it wasn't Crabbe's business what he was doing. So what's he telling all these? Harry's voice tailed away. He was staring into the fire. God, I've been stupid, he said quietly. It's obvious, isn't it? There was a great vat of it down in the dungeon. He could have nicked some any time during that lesson. Nicked what? Said Ron. Polyjuice potion. He stole some of the polyjuice potion Slughorn showed us in our first potions lesson. There aren't a whole variety of students standing guard for Malfoy. It's just Crabbe and Goyle as usual. Yeah, it fits, said Harry, jumping up and starting to pace in front of the fire. They're stupid enough to do what they're told, even if he won't tell them what he's up to. But he doesn't want them to be seen lurking around the room of requirement, so he's got them taking polyjuice potion, just to make it look like other people. Those two girls I saw with him when he missed Quidditch? Ha! Crabbe and Goyle. Do you mean to say, said Hermione in a hushed voice, that the little girl whose scales I repaired? Yeah, of course, said Harry loudly, staring at her. Of course. Malfoy must have been inside the room at the time, so she... What am I talking about? He dropped the scales to tell Malfoy not to come out because there was someone there. And there was that girl who dropped the toad spawn, too. We've been walking past him all the time and not realizing it. He's got Crabbe and Goyle transforming into girls, guffawed Ron. Blimey, no wonder they don't look too happy these days. I'm surprised they don't tell him to stuff it. Well, they wouldn't, would they, if he's shown them his dark mark, said Harry. The dark mark we don't know exists, said Hermione skeptically, rolling up Ron's dried essay before it could come to any more harm and handing it to him. We'll see, said Harry confidently. Yes, we will, said Hermione, getting to her feet and stretching. But Harry, before you get all excited, I still don't think you'll be able to get into the room of requirement without knowing what's in there first. And I don't think you should forget. She heaved her bag onto her shoulder and gave him a very serious look. That what you're supposed to be concentrating on is getting that memory from Slughorn. Good night. Harry watched her go, feeling slightly disgruntled. Once the door to the girls' dormitories closed behind her, he rounded on Ron. What do you think? Wish I could disapparate like a house elf, said Ron, staring at the spot where Dobby had vanished. I'd have that apparition test in the bag. Harry did not sleep well that night. He lay awake for what felt like hours, wondering how Malfoy was using the Room of Requirement and what he, Harry, would see when he went there the following day. For whatever Hermione said, Harry was sure that if Malfoy had been able to see the DA, he would be able to see Malfoy's, what could it be called, meeting place, hideout, storeroom, workshop. Harry's mind worked feverishly, and his dreams, when he finally fell asleep, were broken and disturbed by images of Malfoy, who turned into Slughorn, who then turned into Snape. And I think we'll stop there.
Okay.
It's bedtime, baby kitten. I love you so much. Good night.